Amen. I do appreciate this church, the sacrifice that Pastor Peacock, his wife, especially you people that attend here and willing to let all of these strangers come in, and you lose your pew, and you got to figure out where to sit because you're not in the normal spot, and that's bad for Baptists. You don't handle change well. My people sit in the same spot every week, and I appreciate that because when I pray, I can pray for them easier because I pray around the church, and it makes it simple. And then every once in a while, somebody will throw a monkey wrench into it and sit somewhere else, and they get forgotten for a while. But John chapter 15, if you would. And we're going to just look at a few verses this morning. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Brother Jeremy Evans, would you open us in prayer?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus makes a bold statement here. And he says that you are my friends. You know, sometimes in Bible-believing circles, we'll get a little bit withdrawn. We get pulled away a little bit more. Brother Yoakum even mentioned the sadness of not being around the brethren sometime because you need a friend. But sometimes we alienate ourselves so that we don't have the friends that we ought to have. I've seen in the local church, it seems, that some of the greatest struggles that I've seen in Bible-believing churches is not necessarily a departure from doctrine. Generally, in Bible-believing groups that we see, it's a good, sound doctrine. We've got a good foundation. Generally, you don't see a lot of folks leaving churches because of the doctrine, because we're Bible-believers. It's not generally because of our stand on the King James Bible. I'm talking about our group, our stripe of folks. You know, what bothers people and what really gets under their skin and really gets to them is the brethren. And the problem is that they've not made friends with the brethren. They're afraid to be able to embrace their brothers and sisters in Christ because they're not sure how they're going to react that they're just a sinner. We're just sinners. There's nothing special about us. Some of us have greater gifts than others, so to speak. Some of us have more to offer to others. But the fact is, you're just a sinner, and that's what we have to always keep in the back of our mind, is that we're in a local church with believers that are just sinners. Now, in life, God gave us a father and a mother. You only get one dad, one mom. You get one husband or one wife. I realize that, you know, sometimes that don't always work out the way you think it should, but you'll go with me on it. But the Lord allows us to have multiple friends. And He allows us to have multiple friends in a local church. The blessing of the local church and what really anchors us and what really helps us is that we can have believers that we are friends with within this place that help us as we grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord takes a lot of time and He lays out some things to show us the importance of friendship in the local church. Take your Bible and let's go to the book of Proverbs. Now we've heard already this morning, or this week I should say, that the local church is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. We've not heard a lot about it, but we've also know that the local church is to go out and evangelize the lost. But we're also to go and edify the saints. Now, more times than not, we see that the preacher is to be the edifier. But if you went back to the book of Acts, there is a man by the name of Barnabas. And he's an edifier. He was a man that was able to take people within the local church and see things in them, that he was able to do things with them that nobody else would do. He brought in Paul. He's the one that brought John Mark back in. He was a friend. And there's a value to a friend. And I believe the Word of God lays out the fact that there are values to a friend. Now, oftentimes we see a friend as someone that is always going to give us something. Someone that's always going to be there to help us in a time of trouble. But, you know, a local church is full of spiritual people. And therefore, as a good friend, the value of a friend is that you ought to be the man or the woman that's able to give some value to the relationship that you're in. And part of the value that you can give is that of good counsel. Look at Proverbs 27 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 9. There's a value to counsel. There are going to be times when you won't go to the preacher. Because you think it's just, this is just too small. I can't bother him. He's busy. I don't want to get in his way. But yet you have people within this place that you can go to and you can get some good counsel from them in all kinds of things. Sometimes it's relationship counsel. Sometimes it's work counsel. Sometimes it is counsel about your children. But the fact of the matter is there are different people in this church that have been through different things that have an expertise where they could give you something if you go to them. He says there in verse 9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. It's sweet. It's a blessing. It's good to be able to talk to someone about something and be able to relate about some things. I'm not talking the general coping and sharing that we see that goes on in most churches today. I mean being able to go to someone and getting some deep things that will help them out. Look at verse 17. Same chapter. Brother Wheeler hit on it. And yet the value is still there. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. I am a meat cutter by trade, so we have knives and steels. I have a habit of dulling knives. I don't know if it's just my magnetic force in me. If I have a knife in my hand for too long, it's dull, and then I have to run it on the steel to sharpen it up. I find that because I'm in the world quite a bit during the week, that I've got to be very careful that the more I'm around lost folks, I get dull. And when I get to church and I get around the brethren, there's something about those believers, my friends that I have, that sharpen me and they put me to task to make sure that I'm what I ought to be. A dull knife is no good. You need to be sharp. These meetings here, you get to meet folks and you get to be here. This is sharpening. These pastors have come and they've preached. They've sharpened you this week. I've gotten a lot of good stuff this week. I appreciate that. You know what that does? It builds you up. Builds you up. You ought to be the friend that builds people up. You ought to be the believer that's there to encourage them like Barnabas. When you see someone getting dull, you ought to get on them a little bit. You need to help them. I had a young man that was real zealous in church and just loved the Lord and was doing a lot of things. And all of a sudden, a distraction came into his life. Little gal, you know. He fell in love. And unfortunately, as love always blooms, and of course it has to be nurtured and everything, I began to see him kind of get a little lax. So I took him to lunch one day and just sat down with him and talked to him a little bit. And I said, brother, I see you're getting just a little bit, you're getting just a little bit lax. And I love you and I know you love the Lord and I know you want to do right, but just be careful. Don't get too tied up in this that you miss what the Lord wants you to do. Amen. Well, time went on. He got married and the Lord was good and he's right back to where he was and he's growing and doing things. I bless the Lord and I thank the Lord for that. But I had to just edify him. I wanted to build him up and say, listen, I'm seeing something that you probably don't see because you have the love glasses on. Now, sometimes that's hard sitting down and helping a friend because you don't know how they're going to accept it. You know what? When a friend comes to you in the right heart and the right spirit, you know what you ought to do? You ought to humble yourself and take what they have to say. The Lord's showing you something. There's a value to a friend. Look at Mark chapter 3. We'll be back to Proverbs, so you might as well keep a finger there. But a friend has a value, and I'll tell you something that I've noticed about my friends, is they care about your well-being.
Amen.
They care about your well-being. How are you doing? I mean, not just in speech, I mean literally, how are you doing? You know, sometimes people forget that their friends are going through some things. And a good friend is going to reach out and be there to help them when they think they're going to need something. Now this is, I'm taking this a little bit out of context. You'll bear with me though. But look at Mark 3. Jesus has just called the 12, and of course he's been preaching and healing and doing all the things the Lord did. And notice in verse 20, the multitude cometh together again, and so they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, Jesus' friends, they went out to lay hold on him, for they saith, he is beside himself. Now, I realize that they had no need to go to the Lord and try to pull him back. But I appreciate that he had friends that were willing to say to him, are you okay? Look what you're doing. We've never seen you do this. I mean, for 30 years, the Lord Jesus Christ just labored and lived and did some things. And then all of a sudden, out of the chute, he goes out and he's preaching and healing and doing all these things. And some folks that are acquainted with him come to him and they think he's crazy. Of course, he's not. He's doing what he's supposed to do. But I appreciate the fact that they cared about him. When did the disciples ever care about him? Do you ever read, were the disciples ever really ministered to the Lord Jesus Christ? Were they ever said, Lord, maybe you should slow down a little bit? Now listen, I'm not correcting my Savior. I'm just saying, these folks right here, they said they were His friends, and they saw something that He was going through that burdened their heart. Certainly you see folks in here that are going through some things that maybe you think they're beside themselves. And maybe it appears that maybe that they're maybe losing it a little bit, and maybe the Lord just in it. But wouldn't it be a blessing to go to Him and say, is there anything I can do for you? I see you're running around like a chicken with your head caught off with this thing here, and you know I could help you with that. And then as a friend, you know what you have to be willing to do when someone comes to you about that? Say, you know I could use the help. One of the hardest things about friends and being friends is sometimes we don't want to admit we have a need. But if you have someone that is of value in your life, you better appreciate them and you better tap into them because they're there to help you. They're of value. Back over to Proverbs. The local church is a special place. You know why a lot of folks get out of church? Because they don't have friends in the church. You know where their friends are at? They're out there. You know what I found when I was saved, after I got saved and had been in church for a long period of time? I found that my friends have to be in here. I've worked, again, like I told you, I've worked a full-time job. I have acquaintances that I have in just in the secular world. And never once, and I can say this with great happiness, never once has anyone that I've ever worked with came up to me and invited me to a party. Never. You say, well, you're probably not friendly. It's not that I'm not friendly. They know where I stand on some things. You know why a lot of believers are always in and out, in and out? Because they've not anchored their friends within the local church where they can build each other up. There's a virtue about a friend. There's a virtue that the Lord gives us. Look at Proverbs 17:17. And here's how you know if you have a real friend. The body of Christ is constantly being attacked by the devil. We are constantly coming under the problems and strife and friction that we find within the local church. And of course, we understand that if we don't practice that forgiveness that was just preached just a little bit ago, that the devil will get an advantage over us. And sometimes we don't overlook what someone's going through and we forget to pray for them and we got to remember something. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Here's what I know about a real friend. They'll love you when you're not lovable. You're Bible believers. you're not very lovable. Sometimes we're rough. Sometimes we're real prickery. We put up these bars and walls and gates and try to enclose ourselves, and we don't like to let people in, and we have a hard time dealing with the brethren sometimes. But you know, a real friend is going to love you when you're not lovable. Dr. Ruckman wasn't a real lovable kind of guy. You try to talk to him sometimes, it was very difficult. And yet, we loved him. There's something about loving a friend. There's something about the virtue of being able to overlook the shortcomings that a man or a woman has and realize that they're saved and born again, and they are special to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're obeying His commandments. They're doing what God told them to do. And I'm going to love them because the Lord loves them. And I'm going to count them a friend because the Lord counts them a friend. I ask you this morning, are you a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ? We talk about the Lord Jesus Christ being our friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. But what we read in John 15, if you're not doing what He tells you to do, you're not very friendly. Look at Proverbs 18, verse 24. Proverbs 18, 24. Just some simple things. These are necessities for believers. We forget that this body that we have right here, we need to not just love them in the Lord, but we need to make them our friends. We need to get close to each other. Proverbs 18 and verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You must be friendly. That's what people look for, is friendly. You have visitors come in. It's a blessing. You come in this morning, I'm walking in, and you have folks at the door greeting folks and just smiling and happy. That's good. That's what you need. Don't get so boxed up as a body of believers. And I realize in a church this big, sometimes it gets hard to be able to know everybody and be able to minister to everybody. But make it a point to know individuals. Make it a point to see them and understand what they're going through. Make it a point to love their children. Make it a point to go out of the way to be able to be a blessing to one of the older folks. You got to be friendly. I had someone in church one time, and they come for a while, and she said, "Preacher, I'd like to talk to you." I said, "Sure." And we sat down, and she said, "Pastor, your church is not very friendly." Now, it's just a small church, you know, and we're from North. I think we're friendly, but you know, I mean, I said hello to you this morning. It works for me. And she said, "I just don't think your church is friendly." And I said, "Sister," I said, "have you made it a point to go and introduce yourself to someone and just go and talk to them?" And she said, "Well, no, I haven't." And we had a good little meeting there, and we left, and the next Sunday she comes to church, and she did something that amazed me. She did what I asked her to do. And she went around and she just started talking to folks and sitting down and just reaching out and just talking. And the whole time she was with us, she made it a point then to go and just talk to other people. You gotta be friendly. There is a virtue with having a friend, and you must be friendly. Let's go quickly to the book of Ecclesiastes. Not only is there a value in friendship, and not only is there a virtue in friendship, but maybe most important, there's a victory that comes from having a friend. In the book of Amos 3:3, it says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" We understand that it's hard to be friends with people that you don't agree with. Amen. You realize that you've already got the groundwork laid for you as a saved child of God, being a King James Bible believer. We're agreed. We're sitting here this morning. You opened your Bibles. We're all agreed with the same book. We're all agreed with the same doctrine. Why, when you can agree with someone about this, Fellowship is sweet. It's a blessing to be able to sit down with the brethren and discuss Bible and be able to have good discussions. And even though we may differ on some things that aren't doctrine, some our own interpretation, a few things, it's always sweet to know that I have this that brings me together with them. You know, we support missionaries and we have evangelists and we have just people within our church that we have that become our friends because we have something in common. We may not have things in common in a secular sense. We may not have things in common in an intellectual sense. But when it comes to this, we have something in common. This week you folks have been very courteous and you've come to church and you've heard the preaching because you have something in common with each other. And if you don't nurture those things, what happens is then you get a group that's over here. And a group that's over there, and a group that's over there, and that's not how the body of Christ ought to be in the local church. The local church ought to be like this. I realize that you'll have some friends that you're closer to than others. We realize that. But there shouldn't be different groups within a local church. It ought to be like this. And that's our responsibility as believers. We ought to walk together and be in agreement. Now look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and let me wrap this up here. Here's the victory that we have from having friends. The reason why the ministry, the work of Christ, the local church moves forward is because we are able to accomplish more together than we can apart. When Paul went out with Barnabas, they accomplished a great work. You can't do it on your own. Look what he says there. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Well, there's something about going out and doing something together. We have work days at church and we'll have folks come together and we team up together and work on projects. And when it's all done, we can look at the list and say it's done. Praise God. We'll go door knocking and we'll go out and we'll go two by two and we'll have our streets laid out where we're going to knock doors and we'll go out and be able to see what we've accomplished. We come back. We get in the van. We talk about who we talk to. How was your experience? Did you get a chance to witness to someone? Did anybody slam the door in your face? We just find out what's been accomplished. Missionaries come in and we hear about the work that's being done around the world. Preachers here have come in this week and you get to hear about what they're doing, and they're not doing it by themselves. They're doing it with the body of Christ. The preacher can't do the work of the ministry by himself. He can preach and sure he can go out and door knock and he can soul win and he can do a lot of those things, but without the help of his friends in the local church, he will burn out. People need to see the burden, and then they need to act on the burden. We work together. This is the Lord's work. Listen, the Lord's called you here. He's put you in this place to be a blessing to that man, to help that man. You are His friend. And listen, He appreciates that He can go away and preach all over the country and not worry that this place has dissolved by the time He come back. Because there are pastors that cannot leave their work, because if they did, they would come back to a mess. You know what friends do? Friends make sure everything goes together the way it ought to. Look at Ecclesiastes 4:10. He says, in reference to those two, if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. You know why you need a local church? Right there. Because when you go through some struggles, you have someone to help lift you up. You have someone that's looking out for you, someone that's praying for you, someone that knows you and sees you, and they're there to help you. Praise God when you can reach out to another believer and ask them to pray for you. I have folks in my church that'll text me or call me and they'll ask me, "Preacher, I'm going through some difficult times. Will you pray for me?" That's important. People need to be able to not only ask their preacher to pray for them, they need to be able to go to their friends in the church and say, "Pray for me. I'm struggling." You don't have to go into all the details, but maybe you got a friend that you can give the details to. Someone that you can trust that won't repeat what's going on. Listen, there are people in this church that are having marriage problems that people probably don't even know about because they're ashamed to admit that they're failing and they would rather just let it flounder and fall rather than reach out to someone that might be able to help them. How are you going to be picked up if you don't let someone help you? Listen, we're not walking this road alone. The Lord put us within this local church so that we could have relationships one with another so that we can grow and continue. And of course, look at verse 11. He says again, if two lie together, the Bible says that they have heat. They have heat. You know what that is? That's drawing each other close to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I found within a local church is that people encourage me. My own people will encourage me to get closer to the Lord. I've gotten closer to the Lord because of my local church, because I know that in order for me to feed them and care for them and take care of them, I've got to be close to Him. And you need to do the same thing. You need to get close to the Lord Jesus Christ by having good friends within the body of Christ. Sometimes I've seen, even in my own church, where folks have been friends and things happen. And they do. And I've seen some things and I've had to pray about things thinking, Lord, I pray that these, in a small church, relationships can make or break things. And I've had to pray, Lord, don't let what's going on between this brother and this brother ruin what's happening. And I've watched the Lord be able to go in there and fix things where maybe those two aren't like this. But their love for the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than the problem that they're having. And the reason why people leave our churches is because people's love for the Lord Jesus Christ isn't greater than their problems. Listen, you're going to have issues with folks. You need to pray one for another. You need to be there for each other. But you also need to encourage each other. Maybe when you're having a problem with a brother, maybe the thing to do is just go and apologize. You realize that goes a long way. It helps a local church. There's been things even in my church where I've done things. It's just a couple of years ago I did something that I shouldn't have done with one of my folks in church, and I could probably justify it. And I lost a member. And I was grieved. I was grieved over it. I did everything I could to mend that relationship, because not only was that a member of my church, but this old gal was a friend to me. And I love her because she loves the Lord, but we had some friction. And I did everything to try to talk to her. I got up in church and I even apologized to the church for the way I had acted and the things I had said. I was wrong to have done it the way I did. And finally, over at a couple blowouts ago, Brother Peacock preached a message and he talked about just going and apologizing. And I thought, I'm going to take one more time. I'm going to go one more time. I want to restore this. I want to make it right. And I went to her and sat down and we got it right. And she's back in church and everything's good. And she loves the Lord and she loves me. But you know what happened? Just a little bit of a personality thing got in there. And the Lord said, you know what? You need each other. I need that old gal. She's a sweetheart. She loves the Lord. She don't always know when to be quiet, but she'd jump over a pew and wrestle you to the ground if you say anything bad about me. She almost did about 4 months ago. Last of all, look at Ecclesiastes 4:12. Let's wrap it up. He says here in regard to these two folks, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. You know what help? You know what friends do? They help friends get victory. You know, the devil is always seeking to destroy us. He is seeking to get a foothold in your life. Sin is always at the door of your life trying to get in. And you know what a friend does? A friend can help you. That's a blessing to be able to come to church and have believers that'll pray for you, be able to go and have dinner with believers, have services with believers, have fellowship with believers. You know why? Because it gives us the victory. Sometimes you sit and talk to a brother and they'll tell you about their experiences and what they went through this week, and it'll encourage you to know that the Lord got them through it and the Lord will get me through it. You can't do it on your own, brethren. Too many folks have decided to go their own way. They don't want to submit to the church. They don't want to submit to the authority of the pastor. But the greater problem always lies is they don't want to get to know the believers. And if you'll get to know them the way the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to know them, you'll make a friend that'll help you, and you'll have a friend that goes a lifetime. Amen. And listen, there's going to be a day when mama and daddy are gone. And maybe you've lost your sisters and brothers because of the ministry, because of the church, because of this book. But you know, I've got some friends that I am closer to than my own blood because of the blood-bought book that I have in my hand. Preacher.